And right now, get up to $50 in mail-in rebates on any Motorcraft brake service when you use the Ford Service Credit Card. And because Motorcraft is backed by Ford, you can be confident you're getting the right parts for your vehicle.
Ford Service. Go with confidence.
Subject to credit approval, taxes extra, rebates by prepaid debit card, Panzer shoes on most...
AM 1300 WMEL.
Mild temperatures are in our Monday forecast. We'll have plenty of sun with a high today of 79, tonight's low 65. On Tuesday, partly sunny with a high of 85, Tuesday night's low 67. And for Wednesday, mostly sunny and mild with a high of 85 degrees. It's Dave Ramsey, weekday afternoons 2 to 5 p.m. here on AM 1300 WMEL and worldwide 1300 WMEL.
Are you living with joint, neck, or back pain? Are you looking for treatment without pain pills or surgery? The Back Center at 2222 South Harbor City Boulevard in Melbourne is going back to basics. The Back Center offers a comprehensive approach to healing your spine that combines diet, exercise, chiropractic care, physical therapy, and pain management to improve your overall health. Call now, 321-723-7716. That's 321-723-7716, and get back to basics.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee, host of Sita and Friends on the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL. Each week on Sita and Friends, I talk with some of the most fascinating people in the area on a variety of topics. So make a date to talk to me, Sita Begee, on Sita and Friends, Mondays following the noon news here on the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL, and worldwide at 1300WMEL.com.
Lean on me.
This is the place you can always turn to when you need a friend. The Lillian McDermott Show on the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL. To talk to Lillian, call in now at area code 321-631-1300. Now let's all learn together. Here's Lillian McDermott.
Good morning, everyone. It's so nice we can meet each other on the air on this beautiful Monday, the best beautiful Monday morning ever. And for those of you who are new to Lillian McDermott Show, I normally know how
start to
speak.
To a show ever.
I normally know how to speak, but there's just so many things that I want to say, and it's just like Jerry, it's just coming out of my mouth like altogether. But good morning, Jerry, and how are you today?
You see, what had happened was...
No. We don't want to say what happened. But the purpose of the show is to provide a safe place where you can go to when you need a friend. It is my commitment to provide alternative ways to promote healing, and it is my mission to make awareness, responsibility, and truth a part of our everyday life. And I hope you, my listening friend, will feel empowered to live the life of your dreams. And speaking of dreams, I always ask you to go to whenyouneedafriend.com. So that we can continue our conversations together. It is so important that we collectively focus on what we want out of life. And whenyouneedafriend.com is designed just so us, for we can come together and share our dreams. Check out my sponsors while you're there. Become a subscriber. When you become a subscriber, you're going to get a confirmation email. Wait for that email because, or look for that email because once you confirm it, then you become a subscriber. And then after that, you can go to my facebook.com/ Lillian's radio show and you can like me there. So we can remain connected 24/7. And so, I am looking forward to hearing from you. I know that the article from the Florida Today has been wonderful. A lot of new listeners. And I just want to encourage you that if you have anything, like during the show, if you hear something that you want to discuss, call and Jerry, our producer, will take down your message and we'll get it on the air. So, you're welcome to call at any time at 321-631-1300 and leave your information with Jerry. Okay. So, Today is Money Monday, although it took me a while to say it, but it is Money Monday and it's going to be the best one ever. And for many of us, managing money is like trying to hold water in our bare hands. And it's really hard. And, you know, Dan Henn is not just your typical CPA. He will assist you in any way that you need because he is Dan, the CPA man. And he is here because he believes, and I believe, that it is our sole purpose in life to give and receive love and knowledge. And Dan Henn, CPA, is here to do just that. Welcome, Dan. Welcome back on the first Monday morning of the month.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Can you believe it? It's been a month since we've seen each other.
Yes. Well, time flies when you're having fun.
And yeah. And we were greeted with such beautiful, beautiful circumstances here today.
Yes, lovely aromas in the studio today.
Absolutely. We love it. We love it. Now, share a little bit about your background. This is Third Time Charm.
Right. Third time on your show.
Yes, I'm so excited about it, Dan, because, you know, I look forward to my regular sponsors that are coming on the show. Because, you know, we develop and we learn together and you're teaching me some unbelievable things. And so, as we were discussing what to talk about today, you know, all of a sudden it came to me, you know, there are so many mishandling of money and you are just on top of it, ready to talk about the best ways to manage money. And what are some of the mistakes that we do to mishandle, you know, our treasure, we, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected. And a lot of us just don't know how to handle it. We're taught to handle, you know, be responsible for our lives, but not necessarily how to be responsible for money. And so today, Dan, before you get started in our conversation about the top mistakes that we might make in handling money, share a little bit about your background and what allowed you to become what caused you to become a CPA?
Well, I've always been good at math. I just excelled at math all the way through high school. Then when I got into college, my dad had suggested to me, why don't you find something to do math, since I was so well at it. Mm-hmm. And he suggested being an accountant or a stockbroker. And so I did something about the stockbroker side just didn't appeal to me. And I decided to go into the accounting route and eventually got my degree, got my bachelor's and my master's at the University of South Florida in Tampa. And I started working in CPA firms in Tampa. Worked my way over here to Brevard County, which mm-hmm. I've loved here, almost here 10 years now.
Yeah.
And I've worked over 16 years for other people when I finally just decided I'm tired of this, you know, the rat race and, you know, the political stuff that you're working for other people, that I decided to open my own firm. And in a couple of months, it'll be 5 years that I started and went out on my own. So it's been a great 5 years. And I just enjoy working with people and trying to help them personally or in their business. The businesses usually have more of the year-round need than the individuals do. But I enjoy trying to teach people and help people, educate them in their responsibilities, whether it's dealing with the taxes, which is my main expertise, but dealing with just money in general.
Yeah.
As I've shared with you that, you know, I'm big Dave Ramsey fan.
Yes,
and
too.
I know he's on this station later in the afternoon.
Yes.
And I've taken his financial peace course, and I also teach it to a small group of homeschoolers each fall in a co-op in Merritt Island, and I really enjoy that. And so when, you know, because unfortunately they don't teach that in school.
No.
And it's not even a regular program.
And you know what, as parents, we don't teach that to our kids.
No. And it's just because it's not a regular thing that we don't teach, you know, we don't teach people. So, I mean, and if any course that you could take in life, the one that you would use the most is how to deal with money.
Sure.
And that's, you know, like you said, holding water in your hands, you know, mm-hmm. herding cats kind of a thing.
You know, don't talk about cats today. It's a sore subject.
So it's one of those things that it's just hard to deal with, you know, and because what we know of is what we see in society, you know, trying to keep up with the Joneses, as we say,
yes.
You know, the next door neighbor's got the new gadget or a new car. And so we have to do that. And we go in and get debt and we don't save. And then we cause our own problems where we end up living paycheck to paycheck. And so if you're out there and you live paycheck to paycheck, if you just try and get a little willpower, you know, do teamwork if you're married, or find an accountability partner and work with somebody to try and help you to do certain things. Like one of the main things that you could start with is just trying to live on a budget.
Sure.
Live on a monthly budget. Create that budget each month and figure out what are the needs, what are the things that you have to have, you know, the four walls that they call it, you know, the roof over your head, the clothes on your back, the utilities and food and water. Those are the necessities.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure that you've got those taken care of, that, you know, then the next thing really should be saving.
Okay.
That you're saving for.
Well, part of the budget would be making plans for savings, right?
Correct. Correct.
Okay, so that would be added to that making a budget.
Correct.
We need to make sure when we do a budget that there is room for savings.
Right. Yes. And if anything that you have to take out, you should be looking at what you use for discretionary monies. If you go out to the movies every weekend, if you go to dinner a lot during the week, look at things to try and cut those things back. If you like to drink a lot, you know, maybe cutting back on some of the drinking, and you'd be surprised on how the money just kind of, you know, the term nickel and diming, you know,
yes,
just kind of disappears.
It does.
But if you actually sit there and look at, you know, keep your receipts and add them up and see how much you're spending, and you'd be surprised on what you're spending and what you're spending it on.
Well, it is easier to spend money now than it used to be a long time ago when there were no credit cards or debit cards. I haven't written a check in I don't know how many years, and I hardly ever have cash on me. And so I use my debit card. And it's amazing how many times I use my debit card and don't even realize how much money. Do you suggest that maybe if you have a budget that you have that amount of money on you, once that money is gone, it's gone?
Well, that's another one of those Dave Ramsey things. He, you know, he suggests the envelope system.
Yeah.
Where there are certain things like maybe your food money for the month, and that includes your groceries as well as going out to eat.
Yeah.
And once there's, you know, money out of the cash, you know, there's a different sense to cash. If
yeah.
you hold cash in your hand versus a plastic card, you know, there's not as much emotion or feeling to the plastic card as to the actual cash in your hand.
Yeah.
If you go and pay, you know, usually his big example is go pay for a piece of furniture. And, you know, if you spend $1,000 and you have $1,000 of cash in your hand versus $1,000 that you know is in your bank and you're going to use it on the debit card,
mm-hmm.
there's a different emotion to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you think twice, do I really need this piece of furniture? And, you know, do I really want to part with this $1,000? So, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, try and keep the cash. Obviously, you don't want to keep too much cash, just, you know, because there's other issues or risks in regards to that. But
sure.
But the cash has the emotion. So, you know, I try to get into paying more with cash. I don't have a credit card. So, you know, if I use anything, it's on my debit card. And I know that it has to be in the bank.
Sure.
For me to be able to use it.
Well, you know, it's a lot easier to spend when you don't have that cash. And I think that's what we're saying. So that that envelope, put your budget in different envelopes, your food, your dating, whatever, extra, whenever those envelopes are, they're done with the money, that's it, you're done. So you better not spend it all in one day.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So then what else would you say would be a good, when you are planning your budget and when you're planning your credit cards expenditures or using cash instead of credit, what do you suggest would be the amount of money that you should have in your savings at all times?
Well, first you got to create your emergency fund. That's the thing you've got to be aggressive with. Emergency fund. I believe the threshold is if you make income under $20,000, your emergency fund should be at least $1,000. And then if it's over that, then you should be going for 3 to 6 months worth of expenses. So if your monthly expenses were $3,000, then 3 to 6 months would be $9,000 to $18,000 that you're going to have set aside. Mm-hmm. Now, and you're going to use that for an emergency. You know, emergency would be, you know, the hot water heater breaks and you need to have that, or the, you know, washing machine breaks, you know, you need to have that, those types of things. The car breaks down. Obviously you need to get to work. You know, those types of things, those are the emergencies that you need to, you have that money set aside. And if you have that, then you don't need to have the credit cards. And we live too much on the credit cards. And when you think about that, you know, if you have a credit card that charges 20% interest, if you were to charge $1,000 on that card and not pay it for a year, you paid an extra $200 for that item, whatever it is that you paid that $1,000 for. Sure. So it's like you're paying somebody else for that. You know, you're better off taking that money, even if you just put it in the bank and the bank's only paying 0.5% of interest.
You're
earning money. Correct. Your money is working for you. And that's where the smart people, the wealthy people, you know, they do things to have their money work for them as opposed to always working so hard for their money.
Sure. Absolutely. Okay. So what about like leasing? And when you talk about keeping up with the Joneses, you know, leasing a car, buying a house that's too big for you or too much for you. So what are some suggestions that you can offer for someone who just has to have the latest and greatest?
Well, a lot of the things that, you know, Dave Ramsey calls the lease the fleece. And, you know, I mean, I've done the math, I've done the scenarios, I've had some people call me as clients in the past that, you know, should I lease or buy, whether it's a car or a piece of equipment or a house. And, you know, honestly, the math always works better that if you can buy it versus leasing it.
Sure.
And usually, again, at the end of the lease, you don't own it.
Correct.
And so you end up having to give it back. And I remember doing this for a client one time, and that guy was fairly, you know, wealthy. And at the end of the day, I told him how the math came out, and he basically said, oh, I'm just going to stick with the lease. He liked to have his new car every three years. And so, you know, if that's your, you know, if you have the wherewithal to be able to do that, then that's great. But most people don't. The average person does not. And I would never recommend you get in a lease, even though it's cheap and you can get into the car and you can look good. It's not about looking good.
What does Dave Ramsey say about saving $500 a month? If you were to, a typical lease or the typical average car is like 500 or 480 something. And if you were to save that in your 30s, if you were to save that each month,
I think it was, if you put it in the proper IRA from I think 30 to 70, it would be about $4 million, and $400 a month has been the average car payment now. So right. In essence, if you really think about it, you're driving a $4 million or $5 million car.
Right.
Okay. Thanks,
yeah.
Jerry.
Yeah, and the, you know, with we have the in the homeschool personal finance version that we use. He's got this Ben and Arthur example, and you know, Ben puts in $2,000 a month from the age of 19 to 27. I think it's about 8 years. So he puts $16,000 in it, and it's earning about 12% a year. And then Arthur, I think, is his cousin, and he starts putting in at age 27, and he puts $2,000 in from 27 to the age of 65. Mm-hmm. And between, and so like what I think that's about 38 years. Mm-hmm. And so in that time frame, you know, and, you know, Ben never puts in another dime after the age of 26, and his money, grows over 12% a year. And at age 65, he's got like $2.2 million. Mm-hmm. Now, Arthur, with putting in probably, you know, three times or four times as much as Ben did, his money's only $1.5 million. And so part of it is, you know, in the timing. So that's part of the example, and being consistent. Obviously, and, you know, kind of going back to what you were saying, that in regards to the $400 a month, I mean, the thing, the way he says that Dave Ramsey talks about is when you buy a car, you know, buy that junker for $1,000 or $2,000 and, you know, work with that car. So you're saving the money. And then what you would normally use to instead of the mortgage or loan payment that you would be making on that car, save that money.
Sure.
So if you were to save, say $200 a month, and you did that for a year, you've got $2,400.
Yeah.
And now you do that for a couple of years, and hopefully this car will last you that long.
Yeah.
You know, if you bought a car for $2,000, it's going to be worth probably at least $1,000.
Sure.
When you're ready to, you know, trade that in 2 years later.
Yeah.
And so you take that $1,000 plus the, you know, $5,000 you've saved, and now you can go buy a $6,000 car and pay cash for it.
Yeah.
And so you stair-step yourself up into a nicer car, and it's not really that long of a time frame, and you own it.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about the repo man coming because you lost your job and you don't own your car because it's still a loan on it. So that's the part the most people usually think about when they talk about with paying things with credit cards.
Yeah.
Or having things on the debt, that they can, you know, it's almost like, you know, you've got that invincible, you know, I'm indestructible type of thing, but people lose jobs.
Yes.
You know, they and out of no fault of their own sometimes, and some people get sick, whether it's you or a family member that you need to take care of.
Out, yeah.
And it's those things that you don't foresee, and that's why you have the emergency fund.
Sure.
That you can weather that storm. You know, you'll learn how to cut back on some expenses, so hopefully that money will last a little bit longer until you can get, hopefully, through the issue of either the health problem or, you know, finding another job. And when you have the credit card debt and you have the loan debt and now you've also got the mortgage on your house, it's hard to try and keep up with all of that. And so that's how, you know, people get, you know, sued by the credit card companies and they get, you know, they get their cars repossessed or foreclosures happen when they overbuy an house.
Sure. So if you do, if for those who have gotten into some financial debt and they have a lot of credit card debt, what is your suggestion to them and how to reduce the costs for these credit cards?
Well, the basic thing is a lot of it is psychological. Mm-hmm. Dave Ramsey has what he calls the debt snowball.
Yeah.
So you take your credit cards, and it almost seems a little counterintuitive because you want to think that I'm going to pay the highest credit card rate balance first.
Mm-hmm.
But what you do is you're looking for small victories.
Yeah.
You start with the lowest balance. So, you know, even if you had a $10,000 card and it's charging 20%, but you have one that's $200 and they might be charging 10%.
Yeah.
Well, get rid of the $200 one first.
Okay.
You know, pay that. You know, be aggressive. Pay. You're going to pay all the minimum payments on everything else except for that $200 one, mm-hmm. and you're going to pay that off.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever you were paying on that, you're going to take and move to the next one. So your next card, say, is $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were paying, let's say you were paying $50 a month on that one, and you were paying a minimum of $20 on the next one,
mm-hmm.
well, now you're going to pay $70 a month and start paying on that next credit card.
Yes.
And so you're going to keep doing that until eventually you get, you know, you get
and
rid
you don't
of-
add more to the credit card. You stop using the credit
card. Correct. You stop using the credit card. You cut them up is the best thing. But if you
absolutely... But you don't close them. You don't close them, right?
Well, you know...
Technically, you can't close them, but you don't...
Yeah. I mean, you can't close them because, you know, you still have balances on them.
But you keep them open. But... You keep them open even if you pay them off.
Yes.
Okay. So that's what I meant to say.
Right.
Okay. Perfect. So, you know, credit card debt is crazy. There's a lot of people that use the credit card like they would use a roulette, you know, like playing... like slot machine or, you know, and so it's really important that we are responsible. And, you know, I love that tip of paying off the lowest and seeing that little victory at a time and utilizing the money that you would be spending on one to spend and pay for the other. But credit card debt is crucial to paying it off is crucial to making a successful choice.
Yes, yes.
When it comes to money. And that's a great tip. And so we are learning today from Dan Henn, who is our CPA. And for those of you who want to learn more about Dan, he is in Rockledge, and his number is 321-684-7800. And, of course, his information will be on my Facebook page at Lillian's Radio Show. Now, we are going to continue our conversation about the things to do to best manage our money when we return. We'll be right back. We know that there's always tomorrow. We know we sang it to me, sang it to me. You're a song, and I'll be your friend. I'll be your friend. I'll help you. Yeah, we are. We know before. It won't be long. No, it won't be long. I'm gonna need somebody to lean on.
AM 1300 WMEL.
WMEL 1300 Cocoa Beach, Melbourne, Palm Bay. Nominated Business of the Year by the Cocoa Beach Regional Chamber of Commerce.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jimmy Kloszewski. NBC cameraman Ashoka Mukpo, now the fifth American to return to the U.S. to be treated for Ebola. NBC's John Yang in Omaha, Nebraska.
There is a biocontainment unit, one of the biggest isolation units in America, 10 beds, that's awaiting him. About 40 medical personnel will be treating him.
Meantime, Thomas Duncan, the Ebola patient in Dallas, remains in critical condition. Kurdish fighters in Syria may be getting reinforcements in their battle against ISIS. NBC's Richard Engel.
Turkey is now weighing its options. If it does decide to send troops into Syria, that would mean NATO boots on the ground, and it could be a turning point.
Syrian Kurds say the U.S.-led airstrikes alone aren't stopping ISIS. And the good news, consumers are buying more. The bad, often they can't afford it. Stats just out show 77 million Americans have debt in collection, and it's boom time for the repo.
AM 1300 WMEL.
This Save Us Chuck Minute is brought to you by Travel Syria. Come for the jihad, stay for the sarin gas.
My fellow Americans, had it not been for an employee carrying a legal handgun, the death toll at the Oklahoma food plant could have been much higher. Fortunately, an armed and capable employee brought the killing spree to an end. Obama, Reid, Pelosi, and all of the other gun grabbers on the left will tell you that no one should need a gun in a civilized society. Do they really think that a radical Islamic terrorist cutting off the head of an innocent American is civilized? I wish they would share their gun-grabbing ideas with the survivors and the victims of the Oklahoma tragedy. Cops can't be everywhere. Our only hope of ending these kinds of attacks on U.S. soil is to have more prepared citizens willing to do the right thing. I'm Chuck Woolery.
Like us on Facebook at the Save Us Chuck Woolery page and follow us on Twitter at Save Us Chuck.
Sunny skies and mild temperatures are in our Monday forecast. We'll have a high today of 79 degrees. Tonight's low will be 65. For Tuesday, partly sunny with a high of 85. Tuesday night's low, 67. And for Wednesday, we're looking at mostly sunny skies, high on Wednesday of 85 degrees. It's Lillian McDermott. Weekday mornings at 9 a.m. here on AM 1300 WMEL. Worldwide, 1300WMEL.com.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Lillian McDermott. Integrative, functional, holistic medicine uses the best that medicine has to offer, and I love doctors who use every tool in their toolbox. Dr. Eudine Harry, MD, has made it her purpose to look beyond traditional medicine and help you heal in the way that's best for you. We can hear Dr. Eudine Harry on my show every third Wednesday of the month from 9 to 10, so mark your calendars and let's take our health back. Did you know that we all have adult stem cells? Did you also know these stem cells can heal our own body? The Back Center at 2222 South Harbor City Boulevard in Melbourne offers stem cell injections that may heal your joint, neck, and back pain in a natural way. To learn more about this exciting new technology, go to thebackcenter.net or call 321-723-7716 for an evaluation. Go back to basics at the Back Center.
AM 1300 WMEL.
And welcome back. We are talking today on the Lynn McDermott Radio Show about money. It is Money Monday with CPA Dan Henn, and I'm so excited that he's here. We're talking about the different things that we do to sabotage ourselves. We want to have abundance, and we spend like we have abundance, but really the reality is we haven't created that enough of it to spend in the kind of levels that sometimes we want to spend. It's wanting, as Dan had mentioned, keeping up with the Joneses sometimes can hurt us. But there are other things that we do that we don't even think about. And so that's what we're talking about today, is the do's and don'ts. How to fix, if you found yourself in financial debt
and you want financial freedom, what are the things that you need to focus on? What are the things you need to create? And you know, I'm taking lots of notes too, because I know that I had mentioned earlier that when you have a credit card in your hand or a debit card in your hand, it's so easy to lose track of how many times you spend $5 here, $10 here, $20 here. And I'm guilty about it. And I love the envelope system of where you have a budget and you stay to that budget. If you put money for that budget for the month in that envelope and you take that money out, and that's how you spend whatever budget you have for that particular envelope, whether it's food, clothing, shelter. I mean, what else can we do for the electric power? What would we use for our envelope stand?
Typically, most people use the envelope system for the groceries, the food aspect of things, your discretionary money, things that you normally would, you know, buy cash, you know, pay cash for, you know, getting gas at the gas station, those types of things that you would just
use the debit card.
You know, when you go to Walmart and you're buying other, you know, supplies for the house or the office, you know, you pay those things in cash. And, you know, you'll see the money actually leaving a lot better
sure.
that way.
It's a lot easier to spend money when there's not an emotional attachment to the cash.
Correct.
Yeah, I see that. And you know, I am going to, and I think my husband, as he's listening, he'll go, yay, I'm going to have a miscellaneous. Because that's what gets to me is my miscellaneous, you know, like whether I want something to eat or, you know, I want to buy a new dress or whatever it is. But I have been really good. I've been listening to Dave Ramsey, and it's been a big change in me because I'm more aware. My husband and I's goal is to be debt-free, and I think that it'd be wonderful. Dan, have you ever thought of maybe hosting a course at your a course in your office?
Actually, it's something I've been looking into.
Maybe we can do a Lillian McDermott / Dan Hinn financial freedom kind of course.
Yeah, it's something that I've looked into to doing, you know, kind of doing a good money management and tax management combination, because I know those areas very well, how to handle the money. And how to deal with the tax aspect of certain things that people just don't realize the things that just kind of, you know, slip away. You know, you were talking about the miscellaneous things. You know, it's easy to go, you know, to the convenience store while you're getting gas and go get, you know, a soda or.
No, I don't do that. I don't do that.
You don't get the soda.
I don't get the soda.
The average person gets
a
soda.
No, I don't get anything. I just get my gas and I leave.
Candy.
No, I don't do that.
Or they'll get a donut and coffee.
Yeah,
you know,
it does
those,
add up.
Those types of things, you know, yes. it's surprising, you know, when I'm dealing with the bookkeeping on people and sometimes they do things like that and I see these little, you know, $2 here, $3 there, $5 here, and you'd be really surprised on how easily that adds up.
Okay, so let's talk about, other than spending money, what are other traps that we make that could cause us to lose money and not be, that might be irresponsible of us to not have?
Well, there's a couple other things. Again, part of the you know, seven baby steps, as Dave Ramsey calls it, is the you know, saving for retirement. That's mm-hmm. one area, and then college, you know, for our kids. And so, obviously, if you have the ability and wherewithal, the earliest you can start for college is the better.
Florida prepay good?
Florida prepaid is good, but I think you're probably better off if you can putting money into a 529 plan for education. It's monies that you put in there that as long as it's used for qualified educational purposes, when you take it out, then it's not taxable. So basically, no.
Are you pre-tax when you're putting it into the 529? Like, you know, with the health care fund that you have as well?
Right. No, it's you don't get a deduction for it.
Okay.
When the money goes in. So it's after tax monies that goes in. But obviously, if you put in $5,000 today and your child is going to graduate in 18 years, then that money is going to basically grow over that 18 years and you're not going to pay taxes on that.
Great. Okay.
So as opposed to it sitting in your investment account or in your bank account and you're going to pay taxes on interest, dividends or whatever, or the growth on that account. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in the 529 plan, you know, again, that $5,000, let's say, turns into, you know, 25,000 in 18 years, and that will be enough to.
Or if you put a little bit each time, you know.
Or you put it, you know, put a little bit each time, or you have nice, wonderful parents, you know, the grandparents of the child that want to fund
can't
it. You know,
count on that.
No, you can't. But you know, if they that's allowable as well. And so when the child actually goes to college, then you start taking that money out. So if now the definition for the 529 plan qualified education expenses is more broad than the definition for the credit, the tax credit that you can get on a tax return. So for the 529 plan, you're allowed to use for not only tuition and books, but you can also use to get a computer for school, to use for room and board, those types of things. And as long as, again, that you can document that, you know, now when you come to me, I'm going to ask you, was this all used for qualified educational expenses? Mm-hmm. And usually the answer is yes. But again, at the end of the day, you have to be able to document that, because the IRS can come back even on just that one line and say, hey, did you use that? Because they issue you a 1099 that says, hey, you took $5,000 out of the account and say $1,000 of it was income. And if you didn't use it for the qualified education expenses, that will be taxable on your tax return.
Okay.
So, you know, it's growing tax free. And then you have the ability that if child A doesn't use it all, then child B can come and use, you know, some of it.
Okay. Now, one of the things that we did with our children when they were little is I had a book called Money Doesn't Grow on Trees. I don't know if you've ever read that book, but it talks about how to...
I've heard the saying many times, though.
Yeah, yeah, but that's the name of the book.
From my father.
Yeah. And it teaches
us... I'm still looking, though.
Excuse me?
I'm still looking for it, though.
Still looking for the money tree.
Yeah, the money tree. I did have a money tree. It was given to me, but I don't know. It didn't produce any money. It didn't produce any fruit. So it was just a tree. But when our children were little, we would give them an allowance that was according to their age, and they had to do chores for it. But they always would have, like, expenditures. Like, they had to pay for living. You know, like, living expenses was 40% of the amount of their allowance, and 10% was tithing, 20% was savings, and the other was free money. So that was they would take that money and they could spend it on whatever they wanted. But one of the things that we thought it was important for the children is that whenever there was a birthday or a special occasion, you know, and putting that money towards their college and putting it into their savings. And so always putting things into their savings so that once they got to that point where they needed money or whatever, they would have that money in their account. And one by one, as they graduated, we would give them that account and they would do whatever they wanted to do with that money. But we wanted to teach them how to save. But when a person is making a decision to go to college, not everybody has the luxury. They sometimes have to get student loans. They have to, work or whatever it is that they have to do. But then I find that sometimes they're spending a lot of money on their college education to maybe their earning potential is going to be 20 or 30,000 for, you know, tops, and they're incurring like $50,000 or more for their education. What kind of advice is there a ratio that you should choose? You know, how much should I spend on my education? What is going to be my earning potential?
Well, I can't say that I know the answers to that type of a question, but you know, the biggest thing that you could do is that if you see that yourself is, you know, you're going to college, you know, start working, you know, even an early age, start saving some money ahead of time, work through college, because you know, if it even has more of a meaning to you if you worked hard. Because I've known people who have, you know, worked their way through school and came out with, you know, as little student loans as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're going to set yourself up for the future much, much better in that regards. Because the hard thing is that, you know, it is disappointing when you come out and you get that low paying job or you can't get that job in the field that you want.
Yes.
And then, you know, then you end up having to work at some minimum wage job just to help make ends meet. And then 6 months later, after you graduate, your student loans start becoming payable.
Yeah.
And so that just makes it even, you know, that much harder. But again, just like any other debt that, you know, once you have the ability and wherewithal, you should be looking at trying to, you know, pay that debt off as soon as possible.
And you should treat that like you would treat a credit card.
Correct. just like any other debt.
Okay.
With obviously the big caveat when you're looking at debt is the mortgage would usually be the last thing, and usually because it's the biggest amount, mm-hmm. from the debt snowball perspective.
Got it. And as we get older, we want to leave money to our children. We want to, but a lot of us don't want to plan a will because we think we're going to jinx ourselves, I've heard that. And I'm thinking, wow, that's kind of silly. But what is your advice for people who have not done a will and they're young? They're still young, but they haven't done a will.
You've got to have at least a will. The thing I usually meet in with people, and I've met with people of all ages, from the young, when you're early 20s, you're at that invincible age, you're immortal, you're going to live forever because, dying is so far off. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to think that for the most part, that's the case.
Yeah.
But I've heard of, 20 somethings coming down with cancer or even teenagers. And so, there are, especially once you start having responsibility, that now you've got a wife and then you got a child. It's definitely very important to do that.
Yeah.
But surprisingly, once you even start building up assets, I heard the story. I'm the chair of the Business Resource Council at the Cocoa Beach Chamber, okay. And we just had our Business Champion of the Year awards. And at that event, I was talking to somebody who recently acquired a new business.
Yeah.
And it turns out that the guy he acquired it from had passed away.
Mm.
And he told me this guy didn't have a will. And this guy had a bunch of businesses, was not married, didn't have kids, but he had all these businesses, a bunch of real estate assets, a second home, things like that. Somebody of worth. And he didn't have a will or a trust or anything. And it's like and it's honestly, you're dead. You're not going to care.
Of course.
You're not going to care at that point. But if you care about your family, and the grief that they have to go through. I just got a phone call from a woman Friday.
Yeah.
Somebody that had met at another doctor's office, and her husband died last year, and he had an annuity, but there was no primary beneficiary listed. She somehow was a joint owner on this, and now she's got to jump through a bunch of extra hoops just to be able to get this money.
Wow.
Now, I'm going to take it that the way she was talking, that she doesn't have a ton of money.
Sure.
So this is probably going to be a lot of money for her. So having a basic will, even if you just kind of did one online, not my recommendation,
yeah.
I wouldn't really recommend that.
Sure.
I would
but
definitely.
It's still something.
It's something. The problem is that, just like with taxes, I tell people, you get it out of the box, you do it online, there's nothing to say that it's got everything that kind of really needs to be there, because the state of Florida has its own laws. You move to this state from another state, you should have an attorney look at the will that you have. If you have one from another state, because again, things are going to be different here than, because I've seemed to be meeting a lot of people from Pennsylvania moving down here after last winter.
Yes.
And and so, you really got to have the will, talk to an attorney who's got some experience, ask for referrals or recommendations. If you don't know anybody, feel free to call my office. I know of good people that I can refer them to.
Sure.
But the will is probably the one most basic thing that, even from the standpoint of, like, my wife and I just did this where, we, all these years, we've had a will. I mean, we got a will before our first child was even born.
Yes.
And so we've had it all these years, and we've, over the years, the will has the guardian aspect it in it.
Uh-huh.
So we've had it in there that, and it's changed over the years of who's going to be the guardian if something happens to me and my wife.
Sure.
And our oldest daughter just turned 18, so she's legally able to be able to be put in there as a guardian and be able to take care of our younger daughter, who's almost 15.
Yes.
So, we just changed that. And a lot of people don't realize that because, they're going to, if something happens to you, what happens to your kids if they survive?
Correct.
Do you have family members? Do they become wards of the state? And, do you want that kind of thing or your parents or siblings to have to go through the court system to get guardianship, where if you have it in a will, then it's just a matter of filing whatever paperwork you have to do and you know, that says here, I'm going to be their legal guardian.
Absolutely.
According to the wishes
of the parents. So updating that will, because we just did that. We were laughing because we were looking at, you know, who's going to take care of our children. And our children are, you know, from ages of 24 to 30. And so I don't think we need to worry about that anymore. But it's so important that we update our will because our assets do change and all of that. So, you know, and for those of you who are listening to Dan Henn, he is a CPA. And his office is in Fisk Boulevard. That's 1824 South Fisk Boulevard, Suite 2 in Rockledge. And if you want to get a hold of him and have a conversation with him, you offer a 30-minute conversation or consultation over the phone or in your office?
Yeah, I offer a free 30-minute consultation. And, you know, just to get to know you, to help you do whatever it is you need to do. If you have struggles, you know, you know, at the end of the day, you know, yes, I want to make a dollar, you know,
sure,
out of this.
Sure, we all want to.
But, you know, it's more about helping people, you know, and it's, you know, if I help people achieve their goals, then eventually I will, you know, God will help me achieve my goals.
Correct.
Somewhere along the line. Even I've had many people who have come in for the free consultation and have left and never come back as clients, you know,
yeah.
for various reasons.
Sure.
And it, you know, to me, it's just about helping the people. And what I tell people is, you know, I try to do things in a supportive, non-judgmental manner, you know, because, you know, this is a very sensitive issue for some people. You know,
yeah.
If they've mismanaged their money, they've racked up debt, they've got a big tax bill, whatever the situation ends up being, you know, I want to help people, you know, through these things. And you know, and I'm dealing with people in an area that there's a lot of trust.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's very important to me to treat them like they want to and should be treated,
yeah.
And help them through the situation and give the guidance. Now, whether they listen to the guidance, that's a whole separate conversation.
Sure, absolutely.
But,
hey.
But, you know, I mean, because that's one of the things I really love about your show is about, you know, taking responsibility. And
Thank you. That's
one of the things that you know, I'm trying to help people do is take that responsibility for them and their lives, that it's not the fault of the government. It's not the fault of, you know, the parents and the
exactly.
upbringing and things like that. You know, you've got to take the responsibility
and try and change yourself. That's right.
Okay.
And even, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, and, you know, and things in society that we see, you know,
yeah.
the TV, the movies, and things like that, you know, that you know, we let those things affect ourselves too much. And so, again, if you just, you know, just take the responsibility, you know, I'm not trying to preach to anybody or, you know, make them feel bad, but, you know, it's just, you know, if you're smart, have good common sense, you know, it's about trying to right the ship. And
that's right.
You know, if we all as Americans can live responsibly financially,
mm-hmm.
then we, you know, can help ourselves so that, you know, because one of the other mistakes, I mean, another thing
Go
that
ahead.
we've talked about is retirement.
Okay.
Now, retirement, you know, if you work for an employer that has a 401k and they match up to a certain percentage,
mm-hmm.
you know, you should be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to do that after you've dealing with the debt. Yes, the debt.
It's Money Monday.
Apparently, I just got the same bug.
It just shows you're human. That's all.
Yes. So dealing with the debt. You're going to
yes.
deal with the debt first. You're going to deal with your budget. You're going to deal with your emergency fund.
Yes.
You're going to deal with those things first. And then the next step is retirement. Now, that's before college.
Yeah.
So, you know, worst case scenario, if your kids, you know, really,
hey,
you know, have
we
the ability.
Don't have to pay for our children's
yes,
education.
Yes,
that is
that,
not
know,
a given.
Because, you want to make sure that you have that retirement fund and do it as early as you can.
Yeah.
Because, again, as we talked earlier and said, the earlier you get invested, the better off you're going to
sure.
be in the long run.
Sure.
You know, if you just put a few thousand dollars a year, and if you break that into, you know, again, you eat the elephant one bite at a time.
Yes.
So, you know, $2,400 is $200 a month. Well, $200 a month is $50 a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's one of those types of things, you know, and then, you know, $50 a week is, you know, what, $8 a day?
Yeah.
So, you know, just if you learn to cut out little things here and there
yeah.
and you can save that money that you save yourself and have $1 million in the bank by the time you're ready to retire at 65.
Yes.
And assuming you can, you know, get Social Security, well, that's extra money because now you can, you know, you can live off of that. You're not going to, you know, have to move to a box on the street corner
mm-hmm.
Because now, you know, you're not going to, you know, or you're going to have to work till you're 80. So there are a lot of different things that, you know, that you should do. But, you know, if they're offering you 3%, of return on your money. I mean, that's 100% money on that 3%.
Yeah.
So, you know, work toward doing that. If you don't have the 401k, look for, you know, the IRA, the traditional or the Roth.
Yes.
So, you know, you gotta try and start, you know, saving for your future first, because, and the reason you do the retirement is before the college is that you want to be able to know that you can take care of yourself.
Sure.
Not have to worry about relying on your children.
Absolutely.
Because unfortunately, there are, you know, some familial relations that don't turn out so well later on in life.
Yeah.
And, you know, they get married to people that sometimes they don't like the in-laws.
Yeah.
You know, as the stereotypical thing. And so, you know, do you want to end up having to move into that situation, you know, especially if you start having other medical problems?
We want to be able to be self-sufficient. And I think that taking responsibility for our lives at any age is crucial. You know, I like what you're saying about it's not anybody's fault. We have to, even if somebody caused you to lose money, you engaged in that relationship. And so it's not about finding fault. It's about creating what you want, creating a visual board, do whatever you have to do, write down your goals and focus on those goals. And that's one of the things that, you know, I have a vision board of where I want to be. And little by little, I focus on that and hopefully it will materialize. And I have every intention of that materializing. But you can't just sit there and do nothing. Doing something is important.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, it's actually very important to write goals. Most people don't think to write goals, but just like if you're going to plan a trip to go out of town on vacation, you're going to sit there and you're going to map it out. You're going to figure out, you know, when you're going to leave, where you're going to go, and do those types of things. We don't do that for our lives.
Yeah.
And goals is probably one of the first things that you want to start with, you know, that you want to start, even if the goal is to just start saving $50 a month or something of that nature, and have the short term, you know, the 6 months and then the year goals and then the 5 year goal and the 10 year goal. And, there was a story that I had, a speaker that I had seen, and he was in prison. He wrote down like 15 or 20 different goals that he had, and he stuck them on his wall, and he read them every day.
Yeah.
In his case, he had little choice, but he read them every day. And eventually the guy got out of jail, and now he's got a business that's worth $20 million a year.
That's wonderful.
And so...
But he did something about it. He didn't just look at the goals. You know, when you start focusing on what you want, which is, you know, instead of looking at I'm mishandling my money, now we're going to look at how am I going to support the dreams that I have in my life financially, my financial abundance. And whatever it is that we need to do, we do. Correct?
Correct.
Yes. And so, Dan Henn, I am so excited. I never thought talking about money would be so exciting. Thank you so much, Dan. And for those of you who would like to get a hold of Dan, his number is 321-684-7800. And we need to start looking at doing that financial freedom class at your CPA firm.
Right.
Does that sound good?
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. One other thing I want to say, too. National Night Out is tomorrow night, McLarty Park. I'll be there from 5 to 8 p.m. So if people like to come see me, I'll be out there as well.
Awesome. Awesome. I'll have to learn more about that. So, you know, it's been wonderful. Thank you so much, Dan. And Good News Naturally is next. So stay tuned. Please remember we have a date. Join me weekday mornings from 9 to 10 here on the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL. And please go to whenyouneedafriend.com and become a subscriber. Help us. Let's work together to keep our dreams alive. This is Lillian McDermott wishing you love, peace, joy, and unexpected abundance. Make it the best day, Dan,
ever.
The opinions and advice expressed on the Lillian McDermott Show are intended specifically for the individual callers and guests on the program and are presented to our wider audience solely for general educational purposes. Please act responsibly and consult personally with your own medical, psychological, or nutritional expert before taking any steps to improve your life.
sunny skies and mild temperatures are in our Monday forecast. We'll have a high today of 79 degrees. Tonight's low will be 65. For Tuesday, partly sunny with a high of 85. Tuesday night's low, 67. And for Wednesday, we're looking at mostly sunny skies, high on Wednesday of 85 degrees. It's Lillian McDermott, weekday mornings at 9 a.m. here on AM 1300 WMEL, worldwide 1300WMEL.com.
For 14 years, Good News Naturally with Tom Sokolov has been our little secret in health and nutrition radio. As the owner of Paradise Health and Nutrition educated the Space Coast of